Shalom, Boker Tov. That's how you say good morning. Boker Tov. Let me see you guys try it. Boker Tov. Not broken toe. No. Boker Tov. Okay, Boker Tov is how you say good morning in Hebrew. So, okay. So listen, gang. We had literally the time of our lives while we were there in Israel. And I want to encourage you, listen, the same stuff was happening in Israel. So before I introduce my pastor, I wanted to share a few things with you. You know, in the book of 2 Timothy, just remember this, 2 Timothy 1:7, you can look it up. God has not given us, a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And so remember that. The world outside, yeah, they don't have a sound mind. I mean, I understand the difference between the believer and the non-believer, right? But for us that are believers, you know, Hebrews 13 tells us that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Do you believe that? Amen. So sometimes he has to arrange things to make us remember him. And I wonder if this is going to be such a time as that. You know, I can remember, you know, when we were attacked in 01, when the World Trade Center was attacked, I can remember the churches were full and people were remembering God. Why? Because they were scared. You know, right now, people are afraid. This is an opportunity. They know who the believers are, you guys. They will find you. And they should be able to see a difference in us and the rest of the world outside. Does that make sense, you guys? And so they're going to come to find you. They want to ask you questions. And so this is maybe a golden opportunity. You know, like what Joseph said to his brothers. You know, but as for you, and this is in Genesis 50, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is to this day to save many people alive. You know, something that was tragic for Joseph, God used that to bring about good. Can he not do the same thing with something like this? Of course he can. So I want to share a few things with you. First and foremost, do not panic. You're here, so you're not the panicking ones, right? But at the same time, let's be gracious and loving to those that might have, you know, not felt at peace. One of my favorite verses, let the peace of God rule in your heart. So if some people didn't have peace about being here, respect them, okay? You had peace about being here. They need to respect you also. And so I think that's very, very important. Second thing, you know, I want you guys to know, Pat has been faithful over the years before the coronavirus that to wipe down all the handles and every place that people's hands touch. Every Sunday, it gets after, you know, Monday morning, he comes and wipes everything down. It stays after Thursday. Everything gets wiped down. Kids' toys gets, you know, sanitized. This has been an ongoing procedure for us for many, many years, you guys. And so just know that. But I can tell you that I was listening to a doctor on Fox News, and he said one of the best things that you can do, even more than sanitary wipes and sprays and all that, is to be healthy. You know, to get your vitamin C, get your sleep, take zinc, all of those kind of things that keep you healthy. That's one of the best defenses against the virus. And I think that's pretty amazing. You know, so this right here, I need to share with you. Saul and I got this. This was from the County of San Diego, Order of Health Officer. And so if you can go and you can Google this and you can bring it up, but I want to share with you real quick, and then I'm going to hand it over. I don't want to take up the whole time with you guys today, but I think it's important. Under number 8, guideline 8, okay, let me read this to you. It says this order is issued to prevent, so talking about under 250 under, okay, gathering places. This order is issued to prevent circumstances often present in large gatherings that may exacerbate the spread of COVID-19, such as, okay, now listen, the increased likelihood that large gatherings will attract people from a broad geographic area. Do you think that Ramona is bringing people from a large geographic area? Okay, so think about that, all right? Number 2, prolonged time period, which large numbers of people are in close proximity. Here's another third one. The difficulty in tracing exposure when large numbers of people attend a single event. I think all of you guys from Ramona, correct? Okay, so I think we're okay. The inability then to ensure that attendees follow adequate hygienic practices. Did you guys all wash your hands this morning? Okay, so I think that we understand hygienic practices. So now, I want you to understand this. This order does not prohibit, this was yesterday, normal operations at airports, shopping malls, Other spaces where 250 persons or more may be in transit. So because if you're moving, it would be okay. It does not include, okay, this, I'm serious, right? This is serious stuff. This does not include typical office environments, retail stores, or grocery stores, as John mentioned, where large numbers of people are present but are able to practice social distancing of 6 feet from one another. I was at the grocery store yesterday. People were way closer to me than 6 feet. Even after I stood in line, we were in line, and people were right next to each other, okay? So, now, this does not include, listen, gatherings of people in multiple separate enclosed spaces in a single building, such as a multiplex movie theater or school, so long as 250 people are not present in any single confined space at the same time. So then why did the schools just go berserk? You follow what I'm saying here, gang? This is from their own writing. I'm just reading to you to show you that some of this stuff doesn't make sense. You know, Richard and I were talking. So as of Thursday, now I understand things are changing. Every day things change, right? But I want you to understand this came out as of Thursday. Does anybody recognize that picture? Okay. Gavin Newsom said theme parks like Disneyland, casinos are exempt from California public gathering restrictions. Okay? It says right here, in Anaheim, California, despite a statewide barring of public gatherings of 250 people or more, Gavin Newsom said Thursday the mandate excludes casinos, card rooms, theaters, large theme parks such as Disneyland, Magic Mountain, Universal Studios, Hollywood. Newsom said that he opted not to include the venues in his mandate due to the complexity of their unique circumstances, but discussions are continuing. And as you know, Disneyland did close. The theme parks did close. And but I want you to understand the fluidity of this whole thing. And so that's interesting. Okay. So the question that I have for you is, all right, if he's saying that it was okay, then doesn't it seem interesting? Where are other places at where there are gatherings of 250 people? Synagogues, churches, isn't that interesting? The same thing was in effect when we were in Israel. It went into effect, do you guys remember what day it was? Like Wednesday or Thursday, I think, of last week. We went to the Western Wall where there was thousands of people. We went into the rabbi's tunnel. Hundreds gathered together. We went to Yad Vashem, the Memorial Museum. It was so crowded there, it was ridiculous. And it was pouring down windy rain and all that on that day. And so, you know, people are, I don't know if people are understanding. We came back through customs, okay? We came back through customs, and in that one room, 800 to 1,000 people, all packed together. No instructions. No one took our temperature. No one said go and, you know, self-contain for 2 weeks. None of that was given, you guys. So I am not minimizing this. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not telling you to break the law. I'm merely saying that this seems very strange. It's almost as if there's something sinister behind the scenes. I wonder also, you know, when you look at these kind of things that we kind of wonder that, you know, is there a satanic thing behind these things? I believe so. And when you consider that churches have closed their doors today, that's a victory. And I'm glad that you guys are here. And again, I respect those that didn't come, and that's okay. And you know what? Crazy stuff is going around. We were told on the bus that somebody read on line that you can do this deep breathing test. It's now turned out that's total bunk, right? So I told everybody on the bus, somebody gave it to me, Rob, you can try this, take a deep breath, hold it for 10 seconds if it's okay. I get home last night reading on Fox News, and they said that's totally bunk, you know. So get your information. Be wise. Don't believe everything you hear, but be smart, be wise, be careful. And, you know, so they've postponed the tea with thee. Why did we do that? Because we're panicked? No. It's a fundraiser, yeah. Right? And if people aren't going to be here for a fundraiser, then we need to wait until, you know, the panic is over, okay? Listen, While we were there, some people said, I'm going to stay home and watch Chuck Swindoll. Did you know that he was with us in Israel at the same time we were, with 750 people from all around the country? And so, gang, I'm just telling you, be smart. You know, some of you are thinking, Rob's radical. He's here. Listen, I learned from a guy that went to China and smuggled Bibles in when it was illegal to do so. So he's crazy. I learned from the best. And so therefore, I'm going to be a little crazy also, okay? And before we left, we were supposed to come home British Air from Tel Aviv to London, London to New York, New York to California. And that flight got canceled going to London. And so we came home direct flight straight from Tel Aviv to San Francisco. We ended up getting home earlier than I anticipated. So I had asked Richard, because I thought we wouldn't be getting home till 10 o'clock or so. So I said, Richard, why don't you share with us on Sunday? And he's going to share out a Psalm 8, and it's actually beautiful. It's perfect. And so, gang, please, be wise. Be smart. You know, we are not to live by fear. What did we just learn out of the Sermon on the Mount? Do not worry. Right? And worrying, can it put 1 inch onto your height? No. I was talking to an old cowboy in line at Albertson's yesterday. I can't remember what his name. I wish I could remember his name. And he was just talking about how we as a country have seen crazy things. But he said, listen, I was, you know, my father was World War II. I grew up in a generation where people were tougher. He goes, I'm seeing a weak country right now where people are freaking out and panicking. And he said, things have changed a lot over the... Listen, we talked about the 03 fire, the 07 fire. We came together as a family, you guys. You know why? Because we are a family. And we're going to get through this one as a family. And Jesus is in the boat with us, and he's going to get us to the other side. Amen, you guys? Amen, you guys? Okay? So, Lord Jesus, thank you for the beauty of a new morning. We thank you, God, that you are still in control and that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we commit this morning into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. One more quick thing. While we were in the bus headed down to the airport when we left, people were still questioning. And I said, listen, do you believe that God is all-powerful? Yes. Do you believe he's all-knowing? Yes. And so I asked them that question. And I said, so if we believe that, did God know this was coming? They said, yes. I said, so then we are left with one simple truth. Do we trust him? Okay. When we were coming home, so in 10 days' time, things changed here while we were gone, right? And so I asked them the same two questions. So has anything changed from 2 weeks ago? Is God still in control? Is he still all-knowing? And is the question, are we going to trust him, still the same question? Yes. And so, gang, you hang on to that. So please give a warm applause for my pastor, Pastor Richard, okay?
Oops. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that China thing. Yeah, the Democratic Revolution, 1989, Beijing massacre. State Department said that no one didn't want any Americans going into China. It was very unpredictable. Nobody knew what was going to happen. They banned all of Western press. And unfortunately, we had already had our tickets and visas, and we were there. They rerouted us from Beijing to Hong Kong. But we met with our contacts, because we were scheduled to go into Guangzhou and smuggle Bibles to Pastor Lam and his church there. And they said, if you believe God wants you to go, we'll take you in. And first time in my Christian life, you know, I was faced with wanting to hear from God. This is for real. This is serious. I mean, God, do you really want us to go in there? We don't want to just be presumptuous, and because we didn't know what was going to happen. They could detain you. They could arrest you. They could. There was a number of things. And we went and prayed. It's a funny thing, too, because we had 5 women and 2 men on that team. And when the contacts, the Chinese contacts, said that we'll take you in if you feel the Lord wants you to go, without hesitation, the women said, "Let's go. We're ready." And the men go, "Well, I think we should pray about this." It really was humbling, you know. These women were fired up, man. But the Lord spoke. The Lord spoke through Isaiah. Go through the gates. Go through the gates. That which you have brought in, the enemy will not eat. That we would be successful. And so we went in, and it was a radical trip. It was a life-changing trip. And we had Bibles packed into our luggage, and then from going into Guangzhou, they were X-raying the bags and to see what was inside, and we were all being funneled into these lines to go through, and we said, "Lord, you know, just make us invisible, you know, somehow." Just, and we just went right on through, because they couldn't see, you know. I mean, that was just a amazing thing. That was crazy. Well, good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel Ramona. And why are we gathered here today? I mean, why do we go to church? Why do we, you know, I mean, the whole purpose for us in gathering together is that we might be able to hear from God, be able to receive comfort, consolation, exhortation from God's word, from the fellowship with one another, to encourage one another when we are concerned, when we are oppressed, when we are afraid. We come together, we enter into worship to be fed, and then we depart to serve and to live out our faith into the community around us. And so, trying to make sense of all of this, you know, as we were faced with all of the information coming down Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and, you know, as Pastor Rob, I was trying to communicate with him in Israel to try to find out what was happening over there, as let him know what was going on here. You know, I was reminded of a song that we sang in church. When I became a Christian, one of the songs that I learned, a lot of our songs were taken from the Word. And in Psalm 32, verse 7, it says, you know, that the Lord is our hiding place. You know, and there was a man who wrote a song, a Christian song. He was in a rocket attack in Israel, in a bomb shelter. And the Lord brought this psalm to his mind, and he wrote a song from it. In Psalm 32, verses 7, it talks about, "You are my hiding place. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance whenever I am afraid. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, 'I am strong.' In the strength of the Lord, I will trust in you." And this is one of the songs that we as a church, we used to sing this years ago. When we got together on Sunday morning, this is one of the songs that we would sing. And so I wanted to do that this morning. I wanted to kind of remind us that He is our hiding place. He is the source of our strength and of our, He can calm our hearts and bring some sense to what's happening, and that we can live out, you know, our relationship with Him, live out our relationship with one another, and just that fear, dissipate that fear. So I'd like to just take a couple of minutes right now just to corporately pray together, that we would just corporately just lift up some prayers for our local community, our body, our church, our nation, and our planet. I mean, because I'm going to be talking a little bit about our planet this morning, and to bring it closer to home. So let's just take a couple of minutes and just pray right now, okay? Let's pray. Lord, as we are faced with the events, the current events of what's happening around us, we just want to come to you, Lord, and lift up. We want to intercede for our community, Lord, for one another, that you would be magnified, you would be glorified, that this would be an opportunity when people were faced with fear, that they would reach out to someone that knows the truth, and that they would reach out and maybe this could bring them to a place of surrender, bring them to a place of receiving you as their Lord and Savior, having a hope that is not on this in this place, not in this earth, but in heaven. Lord, and I just pray as we open this up to the body, Lord, just to lift up our intercession to you. Yes, Lord, may you hear our prayers. Just go ahead and just lift up a quick prayer for whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We do lift up right now those that have contracted this, that you would heal their bodies, Lord. That you would raise them up and that they would be an encouragement, Lord. There's over 68, even 70,000 people who have recovered at this moment, and we just pray that you would increase those numbers, Lord. Yes, Lord, we pray that you'd give the doctors wisdom and that you would be able to develop something that could combat this virus, Lord, and destroy it. But we submit ourselves to you, Lord. You are the great physician. You are the one who can do whatever needs to be done. And we just lift them up right now, Lord, the clinics, the hospitals, for those that are charged with the responsibility of communicating with the public and taking the responsibilities. And I pray that you'd just be with them right now, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. This has been, for the past few weeks, this has been kind of going through my mind and my heart. And again, there's a song that we learned years ago. It's taken from Psalm 8. And, it, you know, when I consider your heavens, when I consider your love, every morning there are mercies new when I consider you. And it's taken from Psalm 8. And Psalm 8, you know, the key verses are going to be 3 through 5. But I wanted to kind of read all of it together this morning. It's not very long. It's just... But Psalm 8, God's glory in man's dominion. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You who set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have ordained strength. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You know, the verses, like I said, the verses 3 through 5 are what I'm going to be kind of focusing on this morning. But this has just been kind of flowing through my thoughts in the past few weeks. And I don't know what it is. It might be related to my the place I'm at in my life right now. You know, it's really funny because, I mean, I consider myself middle-aged. But I'm really not. And I'm realizing that I'm basically in the fourth quarter of my existence. I mean, it's just kind of startling. And my wife kind of pointed that out recently. Because she was saying, you know, this virus thing, you know, that it's, you know, you're not supposed to be going out and going anywhere. I said, why? Well, because you're old. And it's really interesting that I don't feel that I'm part of that demographic. But now that I've entered the fourth quarter of my existence, I've become fascinated with the nature of time, the universe, the nature of man, and the nature of God. It's got me contemplating many things. And what's really fascinating is that we're in an age to where we're exploring things that we've never been able to explore before. And it's directly connected to Psalm 8. When we consider your heavens, when the work of your fingers and the moon and the stars which you have ordained, it gives us pause to think of our existence, of the marvelous miracle that we even exist at all. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you give attention or care for him? That's what the word visit means, that you visit him, you give attention, you care for him. You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. It's fascinating to me, too. I mean, you've seen the movie with Tom Hanks, Apollo 13, and the technology that existed at the time when they had the space race and they were wanting to put a man on the moon. And you have more technology in your phone today than these guys had in that mission to the moon. I mean, it's phenomenal. In fact, they're trying to do it again. They want to have another mission, a manned mission to the moon in the next couple of years. And the amount of equipment and technology that they're using to do it the second time just blows my mind. I don't know why they need so much more now than they did before. But when we consider the heavens, when we really look at what they've learned and what they've discovered in this time of exploration, this time of technological discovery, it reveals our place in this universe, this world. There's companion verses in Psalm 144. If you just turn to the right just a little bit, to Psalm 144. verses 3 and 4. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. You know, the frailty of our existence, the frailty of our life. You know, we very rarely think outside of our own domain. You know, like we get caught up in the routine of daily life, in going to work or going to school or going point A to point B, and we lose sight of the world around us and the whole concept of who we are in God's plan, who we are, period. And when you get into a little bit later stage of life and you begin to start reflecting on things, taking stock and trying to figure out the future, when you're young, there is no, it, everything is, you're wanting things to speed up. You're wanting things to get going. You feel like everything is in slow motion when you're young. When you're young, it feels nothing is happening and it's going to take forever for I can reach an age to where I can do whatever I want. And then you reach an age and stage in your life when you begin reflecting, what is it all about? And so this psalm, when I consider your heavens, and when we, the more we venture out, the exploration of man into our solar system and the universe is amazing. The more we explore, the more it confounds the wise, and the more it reveals the reality of our Creator. It's so frustrating to the scientists because the more that they explore, the more it points to that there's a God, there's a Creator. I'm blown away by the magnitude of what's out there. In 1977, I was saved in 76, and so the very next year, they launched a space vehicle, the Voyager 1. Just this little piece of equipment that they launched out there with its mission to explore our own little solar system. You know, that our planets, you know, to fly by, take pictures, send that data back to us to so we could learn more about our own little neighborhood. A space probe was launched into our solar system with the specific mission to explore the planets, to transmit data back to Earth, and flying at 38,000 miles per hour. It took 35 years for it to reach and fly by the planets and reach Pluto, which is on the outer edge of our little circle of planets. And in 2012, the Voyager 1 left the boundary of our solar system and entered into interstellar space. So it's outside of our neighborhood. It's something that man constructed, something that man made and launched out there to discover what's out there. Is there what do the other planets look like? And I mean, it's just mind-boggling to see the size of these planets compared to our own little planet. And again, what they expected to find out there, they didn't find. And what they did find, again, pointed to this, that there is a Creator, there is a God, there is something that we can't explain. Now, this Voyager 1, on it, when they constructed it, they have a plaque on it that shows the creation of man, Adam and Eve. It shows a pictorial representation of mankind. And it's they also put on Voyager 1, what do you think? A Bible. And Voyager 1 is now on its course to intercept one of the closer stars in our Milky Way galaxy. It's known as AC 793888 in 40,000 years. It took 35 years for it to leave our neighborhood. 40,000 years, it's going to fly by one of the nearest stars. We are dealing with immense distances in space. One of the most amazing pictures that Voyager 1 has sent back to us is a photo from Voyager 1 looking back from the edge of our solar system at Earth as a little tiny blue speck in this black field of black sky. And of all, you know, when you look up into the night sky, maybe if you go to the desert and you look up and you see all of these white, twinkling little celestial bodies, if you've seen photographs that you can even, in some cases, see the traces of the Milky Way galaxy. See, our solar system is a little speck in what looks like a pinwheel of stars and planets that is immense in its size from edge to edge. And but if you can just picture a pinwheel or a homemade cinnamon roll made up of stars and planets and then picture a little tiny speck, which is our solar system, in there, you begin to grasp the magnitude of what's out there. Now, man constructed the Hubble telescope. The Hubble telescope is a telescope that they built and launched into space. It's orbiting our planet, and it's designed to see into the deepest parts of space. And it focused on a area of space that is completely black. I mean, completely, there's nothing there. But as they began to focus on it and began to magnify, and, you know, as telescopes do, it revealed billions of additional galaxies and stars that they didn't know existed before. And there are billions of stars and planets in our galaxy, and our galaxy is only one of billions of galaxies in our little section of the known universe. I was watching this video, and the video was attempting to show our location and then put it into perspective of the universe, of what we now is called the known universe. And the Hubble telescope has given us a chance to kind of see the known universe, but they've also discovered that outside of that, there is more. And potentially, the universe is infinitely large. Back in the 80s, they had a map of the universe that they said was 20 billion light years across, but that is nothing. The Hubble telescope has given us the ability to see that it is much, much, much bigger. And all of this that I'm telling you is illustrating from God's word, what is man that you are mindful of him? The scientists have concluded two things in regards to our galaxy and the solar system. The Hubble telescope has given them the ability to measure things that are moving. Our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, is moving. There's another galaxy out there that's also moving, and it's moving in our direction. And they've confirmed this with the Hubble telescope by taking pictures and to the minute pixel range and then determining that this galaxy is moving towards the Milky Way galaxy at 400,000 miles or kilometers per hour. And it's destined to collide with our galaxy. So the Andromeda galaxy and the Milky Way galaxy are going to collide. But this will blow your mind, that there is so much distance, there is so much distance between our planets and stars that none of them are going to collide. These two galaxies colliding, but the distances are so immense that nothing is going to collide with each other. They've also been able to determine that our sun is expanding and is expected to expand 260 times its size. Planet Mercury will be vaporized and the planet Earth will become uninhabitable because it's going to be too hot. It's going to happen in about 3.75 billion years. I know. So as they explore, as they reveal, as they rewrite their theories and they rewrite their conclusions, you know, we are left with the Word of God, which has always said that. The Word of God has always said what they are discovering with their tools. What is man that you're mindful of him, that you take knowledge of him? We are invisible. You couldn't find us if you wanted to. You know, the wonder of our existence on this little globe that is the exact perfect distance from the sun at the exact perfect angle to have an atmosphere and to have the right temperatures and to have the perfect balance of oxygen and carbon dioxide and all of the elements. The more that they have explored in the complete absence of any kind of life anywhere in our own little local neighborhood, speaks of the glory of our God. And it speaks to how insignificant we are. How, why do we even exist at all? The infinite glory of God, it brings us to the complete insignificance of man, how small we are in perspective of our universe. Our solar system is but one grain of sand. Now, our solar system, remember, the Voyager took 35 years, traveling at 38,000 miles an hour, to just go from Earth to Pluto. Our entire solar system, if you could just visualize one little grain of sand among all of the sands of the ocean, the beaches, the deserts on planet Earth. Just one grain amidst all of that. We are invisible, imperceptible, unable to be seen or found in the physical realm. We should not exist. Why do we exist? What is our life is so fragile, so frail. What is man that you are mindful of him? That this Creator would pour out his grace and his love and say, I want to know you. I want to be your Father. I want to be your Savior. I want to be your Lord. It draws us to that place of safety and security that nothing can take away. And that's what I've been coming with the conclusion of, is that the more I consider your heavens, the more I consider the stars and the moons that you have ordained when I realize how small and insignificant I am. This is why the Bible says that even the angels, the angelic beings, are bewildered of why God would be interested in us, why he would love us. The nature of man who wants to become or be his own God, he wants to be his own, the master of his own destiny, lifted up and proud, rather than realizing how humbling and wonderful that the Lord would love us and pour out his grace upon us. You know, it's a wonderful thing. And as we gather together, I mean, as in our short time, I mean, as we ponder, how is our life measured? Our life is measured in the amount of times we circle the earth, the sun. 85 times around, and that's it. And that's on a good day. Isn't that amazing that if you were on the Voyager, if the Voyager 1 was able to take passengers, how would you measure your life? Because you're not circling the sun anymore. You're out there in interstellar space. How do you measure your life, your age? In astronomical terms, they measure it in distance. The Voyager 1 is measured, where its location is measured in astronomical units. How far is it away from the sun, our sun? And they're saying the Voyager 1, the location of the Voyager 1 is 138 AUs, 138 astronomical units. It's 138 times away from the sun that we are. But the theory of if we are able to venture out into space and able to travel at these incredible speeds, would we live longer? Because our life is measured in how many times we circle the sun. If you're not exposed to the sun's radiation and the sun's effect. You know, the scriptures have told us that we are going to be transformed. We are going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to blink. We're going to close our eye in this world, open our eyes in glory. For this corruption will put on incorruption, where there is no more death or dying or disease or, I mean, the spirit, the real you, who's just simply living inside of this case, will be able to be in glory. And that's why, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. I want to share some verses with you, and then we'll close. The sufficiency of our God, the sufficiency of Christ. 2 Peter, you can write these down and underline them, highlight them later. If they're not already, you might already have them highlighted. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. From the Psalms, again, Psalm 103, verses 2 and 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. See, these are soothing to the soul, aren't they? This gives me something that the world cannot give me. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 21 through 24, or 23 and 24. Second Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That Apostle Paul and others, those who have gone on before us, the reality of that encounter with God. And this is why we're here today. That we are here to worship, to be fed, to have a word of encouragement, to have something that I can hold on to no matter what's happening out there. Our God is on the throne, in control. He loves us, and he's going to work us through this thing, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we are just a vapor. It just blows my mind, Lord, that we are just a vapor, just a mist, just an exhaled breath, but yet you are mindful of us. That you gave yourself for us. Such a mystery, Lord. It's such a marvelous mystery, but yet we're so thankful. And so I just pray, Father, that you would be with each and every one here today, that they could go out in your power and your strength and be filled with your love and your peace, that peace that passes all understanding, Lord, that we are destined to be with you, and this place is just temporary, Lord. We're just camping. We're just... may we have a light touch on what's happening in our world, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.